EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How is your week? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. John in California starts us off tonight, and John will be sharing an account of what he encountered whilst walking home at 2 a.m. on a morning back in 2005. Then we head north up to Sherry in Oregon and hear about the UFOs she's witnessed and some of the other strange things going on up in the Pacific Northwest. John is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, John. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. And thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from the state of California.
Correct. Thank you.
Now, John, you had a strange experience walking home one night. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Sure. So this is back in 2005. I lived in East LA at the time. And, I had just turned 18 and I was expecting a child. She was actually born on August 12th, 9 days after my 18th birthday. So I was looking for work, off the bat. Since I turned 18, I spent that day just trying to find a job, and I took one on at a fast food restaurant, and I was like, this isn't for me. I was there for like 2 weeks, and I was like, I don't want to be here doing fries and all this grease. So I ended up going to one of these, they're called the 99 cent only store. They're like, I don't know, international, but here they're kind of popular. And I interviewed, and unfortunately the only position and a slot they offered me was 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. basically closing the store and cleaning. I didn't have a car at the time, but, with a newborn and all that, I kind of had to take what was there, So I was there for a few months. Sometimes, we met some people, and sometimes I get a ride home. And more often than not, though, I was always walking home. And, this is East LA, and I wasn't in the best neighborhood. So I always carried a knife on me just in case anything, But so this one night, we closed the store. Yeah, it's one of these nights I had to walk home. It was not a long walk, maybe 12 minutes, just down the street. And there's an apartment complex and a hill next to the apartment complex. And so usually I either walk up the hill, if the gates lock the apartments, then I'll go just walk up the little hill. Yeah, that's my neighborhood. I actually grew up in that same street. So it was somewhere we would hang out, you know, me and friends and all that. So it was something I was really familiar with. But anyways, though, so as I was walking, as soon as I got to where the crosswalk is to start my walk up that street, I just felt weird. It was just like I felt like somebody was watching me. Couldn't explain it, nothing. It's just like I just felt uneasy, like something's going to happen tonight. So I started making my walk up the street, and it's like a bunch of sides of houses, but it's just so there's really no street lights. So this is just dark street. And so make my way up, and so I'm looking straight ahead. I'm coming to view of the hill and the apartment complex, and I see, and this looks like somebody crouching, like kind of like a, you know, like a frog on a lily pad, just in a crouched position. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's one of my friends or neighbor, maybe he's up there, you know, smoking or something. But proportions, this didn't make sense to me. They look lanky, because behind them there is a house, and they have a light on the side of the house. So I'm looking at a silhouette, and closer I get to it, it just wasn't right. I mean, I see no hair on the head, and it's just in this position. And I'm like, I'm getting closer and closer, and because the way its knees and everything were bent, it looked like if it stood up, it'd be very tall. Smooth. I didn't see any sign of clothing, like not a hair on it. And so I'm getting to the point to where, okay, it's either walk up this hill or cut through the apartments. And luckily the gate was unlocked to the apartments. But it's like I'm walking, and I move that knife from my pocket into my sweater pocket, and I flick it open. And it's one of those little ones, kind of makes like a snap noise. As soon as I did that, it growled at me. And it didn't sound like a dog or anything. It was just so weird. And so I, you know, I'm looking at it, it still hasn't made a move or anything. It's still crouchy, but I see it's turning its head. It's following where I'm going, my direction. It's watching me. So I'm walking backwards until I'm out of view where I can't see it no more and it can't see me no more. And I turn around and I start kind of like a brisk walk, like I'm walking kind of fast. So I pop out at the apartments onto my neighborhood street, and I look towards the hill, and I don't see anything. So now it's just a few houses to where I get home. But I get onto the sidewalk, and probably about five houses down, I see it's a woman, dark hair, and she's walking like dragging her back foot. So stepping forward and kind of dragging the other foot. This is a neighborhood I grew up on. This does not look like anybody that I know. And after what just happened with the hill, I'm like, this isn't right. Something's weird. So I, you know, normally, I mean, I'd go see if somebody's okay, you know, I mean, but I'm like this person, and this is 2:15, 2:20 in the morning. I'm like, this does not make sense. And I just had the gut feeling not to approach, you know? So I get to my gate, I open it. I start walking up my driveway. I'm about halfway up, and my conscience gets the best of me. I turn around to go, like, I have to check on this lady. Despite what happened, I have to see what's going on here. So I walk down to my gate, and I look left, I look right. She's gone. Like, it's too far up the street for her to just, you know, turn or go down that hill, or even, like, if she had turned around, I'd still see somebody walking. She was gone. She vanished. And like I said, that's where I grew up. I know that neighborhood. She did not match anybody's, you know, anybody's appearance that I knew. So after that, I walked back up, went inside. I couldn't sleep. I probably eventually fell asleep about 5 o'clock. I kept looking out the window. It was just, yeah. So that's essentially what happened.
That was an interesting walk home, that was, John.
Very. I quit the job probably about a week after. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to see anything like that again. Didn't want to feel like that again, because I was not trying to sound like I'm tough or anything, but you know, I could hold my own. Not worried about people, nothing like that. But that growl and that whole experience is just something I've never been through. Yeah, so it just kind of, it was wild. So yeah, I didn't stick around. I eventually went back to fast food, you know, because this is the only other place that would hire me at that time. So I was like, okay, I'm going back to one of these places so I can work during the day. I did not want to do that walk again.
Well, when it gets dark, all kinds of strange stuff happens. You know, it's one thing dealing with people in certain situations, I know, but when you're confronted by something strange, I mean, you had that strange creature that you saw, and then you had this woman dragging her foot. It's kind of a bit like the zombie movies, isn't it, where they're dragging their foot behind them.
Exactly. That's kind of hit me like the way she looked. It was kind of like the girl from The Ring, essentially, like the hair just down, head down, and she definitely wasn't very tall. And with what was on the hill, I didn't mention, once I got close, I could see it better. Best I can describe, its head was kind of shaped like an almond. So, you know, how almonds are, they're kind of rounded at the bottom and the head comes to a point. That's the best I could describe it as, like almond shaped head. Little bit longer, but it just thinned. Seemed rounded at the bottom and just kind of thinned as it went up. So yeah, I know for sure that was not a person.
And it was kneeling down, but from the light behind it, you could work out its silhouette. So it did give the impression like if it stood up, it would be tall.
Oh yeah, because the legs, when it was crouched, the way the leg, like their knees were kind of sticking out, it just looked like it had some really long legs on it.
What about facial features?
I couldn't see any facial features. I could just see the shape of the head and the silhouette of it, but I could tell it was hairless. And like I said, if it had to sit up, it'd be tall. And then the head shape also was just kind of like that, you know, and then that growl it did, it just, that was not a normal animal. I don't know.
Didn't sound human, didn't sound like an animal.
No, it just sounded, that's why I think when I had sent you my message, I was like Rake/demon, because those are the only two things I can attribute it to, because I'm like, that wasn't a person. I mean, it was, you know, definitely human-shaped arms, legs, and stuff, but yeah, I don't think a person could make that sound that it made.
And you hadn't heard of anything like that around the area before?
No, this is back in 2005. I think when I started hearing about people talking about like rakes and stuff, that was probably 2016, 17 for me when I started kind of hearing like rumbles of it. And then I heard a couple of people tell their stories on other podcasts. And I'm like, this sounds closest to what I experienced. Like this sounds like the closest thing to what happened with me.
You know, I certainly wouldn't want to bump into this at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners wouldn't either.
No, that's why I say I couldn't work there no more. I'm like, I can't do this shit. I try to see if I can work in the daytime. They had no openings, so I told them I can't do this. I didn't do a 2 weeks notice. I think I did it for a week, and I even took a longer route home. I didn't take that same route for the rest of the time I was there.
Other than the fact that the job may have sucked, did you give them a reason why, you know, you didn't like work
no,
in the late
one? I just told them I couldn't do that late shift no more. I was like, I can't do this. I don't have a car. I'm walking home at night. And I just told them it's dangerous at night. I can't keep doing this walk.
It makes you wonder if this thing had reacted to you, you know, even a knife would have made a difference.
Right. Right. It gave me a little bit of comfort because I was like, I got something on hand. It's no handgun or nothing, but, you know, it gives me a fighting chance, you know, because growing up, you know, where I did, I was in the youth boxing program for a while. And so, like I said, I knew how to defend myself against people and all that. Like, you know, fights never bothered me, but I just knew, I was like, all I got is a knife. This thing moves on me. I'm going to have to fight for my life, because it just seemed like by the proportion of it, this thing would be faster than me. But it did appear kind of like thin. Kind of like frail. So I was like, maybe I got a fighting chance, and this knife, you know, keeps me in that fight, you know. So I just remember grabbing the handle of that knife so tight.
The area where you saw it on the hill, that particular area, is it possible that it has like any wooded area, anywhere where this thing could reside?
That little hill leads up to a bigger thing like that. There's houses, but behind those houses is a bunch of hills. And we used to go up there when we were younger, and there's like actually a little kind of we kind of duck under a couple of these branches and stuff, and there's a little like area. I mean, you know, just to be honest, that's where we used to go like smoke pot at sometimes. You know, our parents weren't there, it's away from the houses, but it was almost like a little like den area that we used to go to. So yeah, walking through there's trees and there's a hill area, and there's no houses the deeper you get into that hilly side. I wish I had pictures of the area. I've since moved, and honestly I haven't really, since that happened, I didn't really venture up that area.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Definitely strange. It's a strange thing. But then again, like, you know, what we're talking before, the very beginning of the show, I've had accounts from LA, you know, across LA, with some strange encounters with creatures, some above ground and some which believe they're from below ground in the sewer system. So, you know, who knows what's walking the streets, you know, when we're all going to bed and people are working the late shift.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'm the only person around. I mean, it's, you know, 2 o'clock. I mean, just it was dead out there. I didn't see a car come by once, which being 2 o'clock, it doesn't happen that often anyway. But it's just, yeah, it was just dead quiet. And I just had a feeling as soon as I left that store, just like something's going to happen tonight. Like, I thought maybe, you know, I'm going to get a confrontation with somebody or something, but not that lucky. I would have preferred that. You know, I would have preferred a fight with the rover, what happened, because, like I said, just I couldn't do that job no more. I just couldn't.
So you had a feeling beforehand, so your intuition kicked in.
Yeah, off the bat, once I got to the crosswalk and I started crossing the street to where I had that straight shot to my to where I could get to my house. Yeah, as soon as I was there, I was like, something's going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's really weird. But prior to 2005, had you had any experiences like this before? I mean, not necessarily like this creature thing.
There was a time, had to be maybe 10, 11. My father had passed away when I was 9 years old. He passed away in our house. And just after that, like the energy in the house was not a good feeling. I mean, I know my brothers and sisters had some weird stuff happen. But I had fallen asleep in our living room and I was on the couch. And I don't know why. I don't know what time it was. I just kind of wake up. And as I opened my eyes, someone leaning over me, looking down on me. So I'm looking up and they're looking over me, looking down on me. And I don't know. I just remember waking up after that the next morning. I just remember opening my eyes, seeing that head leaning over, looking at me. Like, I don't know. I think that's more like a kind of a ghostly type thing. Maybe shadow person, but I can't say for sure. Maybe it was a dream, but it didn't feel like one.
You know, both of these experiences that you've had, they've both been when you're in a kind of a vulnerable situation. So you had the one where you were asleep and you wake up. So, you know, we're always defenseless, you know, when we're asleep. And,
right.
And then when you're walking home at 2 a.m. and you see this creature.
Yeah. But yeah, outside of that, I do have something from after. And this was in Arizona. And it's a pretty quick one. So we're out there visiting some family. This is... it had to be maybe 20 at the time. So 2 years later, I'm out there. I go step out to the driveway. I'm just kind of sitting there having a smoke and all that. And I kind of just get like a hunch, like look over my shoulder. And so I look over in over our neighbor's house. It was rectangle shaped. It was big. And it had like an orange pulsing light on the side facing away from me. So when it would light up like that, you could see the silhouette and the shape of whatever this was. It was almost blimp-like, but didn't seem like a blimp, especially the silence of it and that light that was pulsing on the other side. It was like an orangey kind of light, like orange-colored. And so I was watching it, and so I ran inside, and that my daughter's mom's brother, so my daughter's uncle, I'm like, hey, Michael, come out. You got to see this thing. So he comes out with me. And he sees it, but we're just seeing the back end of it now. But he can see the light pulsing. I'm like, that's not a plane. And he's like, that's not a plane. He's like, no, I don't know what that is. And so with those three experiences, yeah, I mean, but I think those are probably the three biggest things, like minor stuff outside of that, you know, like hearing some voices here and there. And that's about it.
Good stuff, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see that rake. I must admit, this is definitely creepy. Yeah, last thing you need is hearing the bushes rustling and seeing that thing.
Right, definitely something I'm glad I haven't. You know, I've only experienced once, because I don't care to see something like that again.
And to our listeners, if you think you've experienced something very similar to what John has, a lanky creature lurking in the bushes, then let us know, because see if anyone else has seen this this strange creature.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to hear. Yeah, that's what I like about the format. You know, I'm like, these are just everyday, like I say, everyday people. I just want to, you know, get that out there, because I've heard so much recently. And I'm like, well, I got to, you know, get my account. So, you know, people like yourself have, you know, like, okay, you know, this is what I've heard now. This is, you know, this so-and-so said. And you guys got to paint the picture, and I'm so long for the ride. Like, I just want to hear if more stories come out. I'm like, okay, to me, that was, you know, pretty similar. More people are seeing this kind of stuff. So
the important thing is, John, you know, that you've come out with this experience, and the chances are that someone else is listening that have had that experience, or they know someone that has, and then that's going to help them. You know, they're going to go, okay, so I saw the same thing, so now I can relax a little bit. You know, I'm not nuts. So, you know, it's a good thing, you know, and it snowballs, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, yeah, that's, you know, this is the way I see it. I'm like, you know, if it helps anybody, or, you know, I've heard stories, so that's what made me want to do it. I'm like, okay, I got to chime in with my own, because I've heard some similar things on like other shows I listen to. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to put mine out there, and that's it. I'm not, you know, I don't want nothing out of it, just to maybe help somebody, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, like we said at the beginning, you know, there are tons of stories around that area, but, you know, you don't hear about it. It's kind of kept within the community and all that. So it's important to share these things for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, appreciate your time.
John, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you. And I'm going to keep on listening. So yeah, looking forward to maybe hearing this at some point, but you take care, man.
And keep off the streets at 2 a.m.
Oh, I do.
take care of yourself, and I'll talk soon to you, John. All right.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye. Take care, brother.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars, and they're building a colony, and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Sherry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence today and your calling from Oregon in the US.
Yep.
Now, Sherry, you have some paranormal experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, I've got a couple of UFO type stories, and then I've got a couple that delve more into kind of paranormal aspects. One thing I will say is that I grew up in California, Southern California. I really had nothing unusual happen down there, even though I kind of lived outside of the city, could see the sky clearly. Never anything weird. It was only after I moved up to Oregon that the strangeness started happening. And I will say that overall, I think Oregon is a very strange place. There's just a lot going on here. And I think just the land itself has kind of a unique energy to it. So I'll just throw that out there. But this was the first incident was in about 2011. It was Thanksgiving evening. It's my husband, myself, and a friend of ours having Thanksgiving dinner. So my husband was a smoker. At one point in the evening, he decided to pop outside and have a cigarette. So he doesn't get very far out the front door, comes back and says, "You have to come look at this right now." So me and my friend got up and we went to the front door. It was open, and immediately we could see what he's looking at. And it's a series of red, or like an orangish red balls of light. And they are sitting over a small hill that we can see from right outside our front door. What was unusual about these is, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, it's probably Chinese lanterns or something like that. We've seen Chinese lanterns before, and they, you know, kind of float very easy up into the sky, and it's very kind of random. These were all sitting in a perfectly vertical line and all equidistant. So, you know, equal distance between each one of them. Then they started moving horizontally, like one would move horizontal to the right, one would move horizontal to the left, then they would move back into the vertical line. So we were trying to get our, you know, old iPhones at the time to you take a video or a picture and it didn't really come out great. They just look like points of light. But this went on for, I'd say, a good 15 or so minutes. They were probably, I don't know exactly how far away they were, because, you know, maybe if you held a dime out at arm's length, that's how big they were in the sky. But they did these maneuvers for, you know, that whole time. So they definitely weren't Chinese lanterns, in other words. Just a complete choreographed kind of movement going on with these things. And then at a certain point in time, they all went further up into the sky, kind of in that vertical line. And then each one disappeared one after the other. And that was kind of the end of the show, so to speak. So no idea what those were, but I did go online and, you know, kind of Googled around for orange lights in the sky and did come up with a number of other people who were seeing similar things, but in other parts of the country. So all over the country, it seemed that year or that fall and winter, people were seeing these lights. So that was kind of the first weird thing that happened. The next, I'd say, was probably around 2013, and that was my husband going out late at night, would go walking, and would randomly see crazy stuff in the sky. He saw something that he said looked like a bright green hourglass that had two diamond-shaped red lights on either side, and that was traveling pretty fast within the sky, didn't make a sound. He told me about it. It was, said it was late. He didn't wake me up or anything. But later on, he used to hang out at the local coffee place, had struck up a conversation with another local guy about just seeing weird stuff in the sky in Oregon, and described that one thing. And the guy stopped him and said, wait, you've seen the hourglass? So it was definitely something that someone else had also actually seen. That was pretty weird. No idea what it was, of course. It's just one of those unidentified aerial phenomenons. In 2016, we had a series of sightings that were all the same object, I think. One was, I'd gone out on the deck, which faces west, and it was towards evening time. So the sun was already pretty much set, but it was still light out. And I saw a very large, bright, white light, a round light, in an area of the sky that I, my brain was thinking, like, that's weird that the moon's over there. It was that big and bright. And obviously it wasn't the moon, but it was over another set of hills in the other direction. And I only saw it for 10 seconds, something like that, because it moved horizontally across the mountain top and then just disappeared. That mountain top over that on that side, there are residences further down the mountain, but there's nothing on top of that mountain, so no roads or anything. I always try and look for something logical, you know, when something like that happens, and I had nothing. I don't know what it was. A few weeks later, I was just sitting in the living room and the sunset was like really awesome. So I decided, I'm going to go take a look outside. And I see a bright white light coming from the west to the east, just kind of tooling along at a good clip, pretty fast moving. But again, no sound at all. No blinking lights, no shape discernible to it. It was just kind of a white light that went across the sky. We ended up seeing that three other times that summer. Just no idea, you know, what it was, but also saw something strange a little later in that year out camping. Another bright white light, but it was completely dark at this time. Clearly not a satellite, bigger, brighter, but yeah, no idea what that was. And it was going the same direction, oddly, from west to east. So those are pretty much the unidentified flying object type things that I've seen in Oregon. The next the next things I'll talk about is just kind of the general weirdness and more paranormal things that happen here in Oregon. One is we get a sense that there's something like elemental spirits happening here in Oregon. Like I said, there's something with the land itself, it seems, that it just feels ancient. Something definitely not human, definitely ancient. There is almost everywhere in the particular area where I live, if you go out in the evening, after the sun has gone down, once it's gotten dark, there's just an unsettling feeling. I can't really put my finger on it, but it doesn't feel like, you know how sometimes if you're in like a sketchy area or something and you realize like, oh, there might, you know, it's probably not safe to go out. It's not that. It's something entirely different where you can tell there's not a human element to it. I actually consulted with one of the shopkeepers at a kind of little metaphysical shop in town here. And she says like, oh, you should try, you know, gridding your property with some stones and see if that makes a difference. And I did, and it did. So that was pretty interesting. Whatever is going on out there clearly, you know, obeyed the boundary that I put up. And it does not feel like that right on my property anymore. But if I go off the property, I can get that feeling. A friend of mine lives a little further into town and has got a similar thing going on at the house there. That house we're pretty sure is haunted in a certain way, not in any kind of malicious way. It could be some residual thing. There's been a lot of unusual noises that happen there that are kind of unexplainable. You'll see things out of the corner of your eye. One time there's my friend has cats as well and will leave the screen door open. One cat particularly loves to look out the screen door. And there was something that would come on the porch and kind of frighten the cats. So my friend said, at one point, out of the corner of his eye, it kind of looked like Cousin It. So kind of a small, kind of furry, but ambiguous, like long fur brown thing. And it was requested of it that it not scare the cats. And, you know, so far, so good there. There's something in the backyard that my husband, who was had kind of maybe physical medium or something, he had some abilities, saw it as a sparkly gray thing that would simply move around the alleyway behind the house. So that seemed to be its quote unquote territory, where it would just kind of go back and forth there. And again, we didn't get any kind of malicious feeling or anything off of these. It was just kind of, this is their space, or, you know, their territory. So kind of strange there. One night when I was driving home from my parents' place, they moved up here in 2013, I believe, and not too far away, like 5 miles down the road. It was late, like 10 o'clock at night. I'm coming back and I see what looks like it kind of had an animal shape, but not really. It was more blobby than that, but it looked like it had black long fur or something. And again, it was something out of the corner of my eye on the side of the road. Definitely not a regular animal, though. And oddly enough, a couple weeks before I saw that, there was a pretty ridiculous accident that occurred right around that area where a woman who I think was under the influence of alcohol or something flipped her Toyota truck and actually died in these people's front yard that was right around there. So seeing something unusual, like right where that happened, was kind of odd. Yeah, there's just a lot of strangeness here. There's a county fairgrounds right nearby, and there is a very unusual feeling at the fairgrounds too. The very first time we went there, it was during a county fair, and the minute we parked and got out of our car, I just felt like I don't really want to be here. And the more we walked around, the heavier this feeling got, until it was almost bordering kind of like on an anxiety attack kind of feeling. It's at one point I said, you know, I just got to get out of here. We should go. And we'd only spent maybe an hour there. So we left, and as we're driving away, that feeling completely stopped. So something strange there. I will say that television show, The Dead Files, has actually been here to my town twice in their series. And each time it was, again, something pretty weird. One of their locations, I actually know where it is, is a house off of the freeway. And it's not too far from the fairgrounds. It's literally like, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile, something like that. So there's definitely something kind of strange going on in Oregon in general. Can't say what it is, but there is definitely weirdness here. So that's pretty much my stories. I could talk about a couple little things that happened to my father when one was when he was very young, and one was when he was a teenager. He lived in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, so kind of a rural area, small town kind of thing. He said that when he was very young, him and his mom and dad, and it was just him and his mom and dad, it wasn't his brother or sister at the time. I'm not sure where they were, but they were coming home from somewhere, and it was the evening, and he said that he suddenly saw a bright light above their house and distinctly remembers, you know, like tugging on his dad's hand or something and saying, look at that. What is that light? And he says that his parents didn't see it. Like, they were just like, what light? But it's, you know, a very distinct memory for him. So he says that the next kind of thing he remembers is that they were walking into the house, but, you know, somehow they were all in the house a second later, and no one remembers seeing this light. Western Pennsylvania kind of has a lot of tales and stories and stuff too, but that was one in particular that my dad experienced. The other was he used to go out into the woods a lot when he was a kid, doing hunting, fishing, that sort of thing. And it felt very comfortable in the woods. He would, you know, stay the night out in the woods, no tent or anything, just kind of sleeping under the stars type of thing. And he said one day when he went out there, it was one of those things that he says he'll never forget because of how unusual it was. There was always sounds in the woods. This was, everything stopped. Everything got completely silent. And you hear this a lot with stories like this, where no other movement in the woods, no other sounds, and that's already unusual. But he said that then the hair kind of went up on the back of his neck, and he felt like he was being watched. Again, still no sound or anything, but he just got the feeling that he needs to get out of there, like, right away. And, you know, being someone who is familiar with hunting and everything, he just felt like it was not any kind of animal, like a deer or, you know, anything like that. It was just a very strange feeling. So he ended up just kind of running all the way back to his house, which is about 3 miles. And, it was very cautious going out into the woods after that. So But that's pretty much all I can think of as far as stories go.
Good stuff, Sherry. Interesting. What's going on in Oregon?
That is the real question. Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, when I was growing up in California, nothing really unusual happened. And like I said, you know, I never saw anything weird in the sky other than, you know, meteor or something like that. But yeah, it all started happening moving up here to Oregon. And there's just a certain feeling. I've been all over Oregon, and it's a little different depending on the area, like Eastern Oregon or the coast or up in the city in Portland. But everywhere there just seems to be a feeling of, you know, other things are afoot here.
I mean, Oregon is quite wooded, isn't it? It's quite a heavily wooded state.
Yeah, I would say probably half the state. Eastern Oregon, totally different. There's a kind of central Oregon has some high pines and things like that, but you're getting into desert and it's kind of a wasteland out there. But the rest of the state is, yeah, very, very much wooded.
And in those areas, you know, you can have some very ancient trees that have been there for generations upon generations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think a lot of things lurk around those areas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's tons and tons of Bigfoot stories that come out of Oregon. I don't personally have a Bigfoot story, but I don't make it a point to go out into the middle of the woods where no one's around either. Usually if I go camping, it's like in a regular campground. But yeah, plenty of Bigfoot stories.
I mean, I've always been fascinated with Bigfoots and Sasquatches, and one day I will make it over to not so much hunting, more attempted observation.
Right.
As it goes, you know, when you're out in anywhere in the wilderness, you should always be careful, for sure, and be aware of your surroundings, because if it isn't maybe a Bigfoot lurking, there could be something equally as aggressive, maybe, that, you know, you've basically encroached into their space, you know, and they may not want you there.
Sure. Yeah, there's plenty of non-supernatural things and hazards, you know, like cliffs and, you know, all of that. There's plenty of weird stories around Crater Lake, for one. A lot of people that just kind of disappear out there and are never seen again. And Crater Lake itself has a very, very weird vibe. That is another place where I just do not feel comfortable at all. You know, and it's beautifully scenic. It's, I think, the deepest lake. And of course, it's a, you know, volcanic crater, but I think it's the deepest lake in the U.S. So it just some unusual things going around in Crater Lake. If you've never looked into that, there's some interesting stories.
Yeah, that's right. It's a national park, isn't it? And I believe there is a lot of missing people. Some quite recent as well, because I think David Pilates had mentioned this in some of his books around Crater Lake, of his missing 411 books.
Yes. Yeah, I think he covered a few of the stories. A really famous one of, you know, a guy that went missing where they found just, I think, a pair of pants with like feet bones in it or something. And it, way out off of any kind of trail. And at the time he went missing, there was, you know, like 10 feet of snow, something like that. So it would be rather impossible to kind of get out there without, you know, serious equipment or snowshoes or anything. And he had nothing of that sort. So that was one of the really, really unusual ones.
People go out into nature a lot of times, you know, whether they're experienced or not, you know, they go out, they go ill-equipped. They don't have no way of contacting, you know, the outside world if something does happen. And a lot of times, you know, it is people that just go out on their own and never seen again.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, pretty freaky.
Pretty freaky indeed. Wonderful. Okay. Let's go back to the beginning with these balls of light. The first thing people say is when they mention, you know, balls of orange light, Chinese lanterns. You know, we've all seen them. And even if you see them for a couple of minutes, it doesn't take long to work out exactly what they are. But the ones that you saw, the lights that you saw, didn't behave at all like Chinese lanterns.
Right. There was some intelligence there. And this was way before the proliferation of drones, things like that, or LED light shows or anything. These lights definitely seemed to be independent. So, you know, not attached to one another. There was no light coming up from the ground, no sound with these. And yeah, moving in formations like that, very purposeful, you know, lining all up in a vertical line and then going off to one side or off to the other, and then lining back up in a vertical line. So very, very odd movement.
Yeah, I mean, usually when you see Chinese lanterns, they're usually staggered on like a gradient, aren't they? They're usually like just rising up one by one. But yours was completely vertical, which you never really see. And then one shoots off to the left, one shoots off to the right, and then they go back into formation again.
Yeah, and then all moved up at the same time before they disappeared. So they stayed in that vertical formation and all moved up. You know, up and further into the sky. And then one by one from top to bottom, they all disappeared. So very weird.
Very weird indeed. Of course, it's always a good idea, you know, to look at things logically, you know, discount things before we all obviously jump to conclusions, I'm sure. You know, we've all done it. You know, I've seen planes in the sky before and it's taken me a while to work out, ah, that's a plane, you know, due to the distance, obviously. And
oh, yeah. I have kind of a funny story about my husband and I. We used to be DJs back in underground club scene in LA back in the day. And we'd go out to raves and stuff. And this was, you know, late 90s, like 97, 98, somewhere around there. But they would have, since we were Southern California and the desert, Palm Desert is not very far away, they would have desert raves. So we all went out there one night and there were a bunch of people all standing on a hill, you know, obviously looking at something in the sky. So I wander over there and I'm like, what are you guys looking at? And like, it's a UFO, man. It's like, look at it. It's moving all weird. And yeah, there was a weird light up in the sky, like moving around all weird and everything. Turns out it was somebody with a kite with glow sticks on the kite. So everybody stood there for at least an hour, you know, convinced it was a UFO until the person who was flying the kite kind of came by with the kite.
Everyone's up there mesmerized.
Yep. So, but yeah, there's plenty of times where there is a logical explanation for things. But, you know, then there's those times that there isn't. And you still can't assume, like, yes, it's, you know, aliens from the Pleiades or something. But you have no idea. You really don't know because there isn't known phenomenon that behaves the way of the thing that you saw.
That's absolutely right. You know, and these sightings, they are regular, you know, regular. I get emails daily.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely daily. Well, sometimes hourly, in fact. Even but in the time we've been speaking, I've had 3 emails come in. So,
wow.
So it's a regular thing. And yeah, people have sightings.
Well, I think more people are looking now, too, than ever before. It just seems that, you know, it's obviously there's the whole disclosure thing and all that going on and just more and more people aware of things. I think it's good to look for, you know, the unusual in life, you know, look for things that just don't make sense or whatnot. There's too much in the universe to really kind of assume that you know everything that's going on.
Yeah, I agree. It's important that we do look up. I mean, fair enough. You can, you know, look down and tweet about it after. But, you know, spend time absorbing nature, you know, and looking up and seeing what's there. And I think that the whole looking for this magic and this mystery takes us back to when we were kids, you know, when everything was exciting and magical and didn't really know how David Copperfield worked in those days. So, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's exciting to chase these things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, living in Oregon, obviously, it's a big change than California.
Yep.
Hopefully, it's better. A better change, as even though it's a bit strange up there. These feelings that you would get, would you consider yourself a sensitive at all?
Yeah, I definitely would say that. I don't have kind of, I wouldn't really call myself a medium per se, but I definitely would say I'm more empathic. I do get a sense of feeling when something isn't right or you know, when something's about to happen kind of thing. And, you know, occasionally I'll get little kind of premonition-y type stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think everybody feels it. Obviously, it would just be, you know, people who are kind of sensitive to energy or really paying attention would be, you know, more apt to feel it.
I mean, people that say live there probably completely used to the strangeness, so it's completely normal to them. But anyone which, you know, is from out of state and then goes up there and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Would you say it's like a heavy feeling at all?
It kind of is. It's just, it's an unsettling feeling. And it varies, like I said, by area. Like the feeling out where I'm at, which is about 5 miles outside of town, would be, yeah, just kind of an unsettling feeling where something in your head is just telling you, you need to get back inside. You know, you shouldn't be out here right now. And that's after the sun goes down. When the sun is still up and there's light in the sky, totally different feeling. Like, it feels very comfortable, but as soon as it gets dark, and it seems so cliche that, you know, like that when it gets dark, the creepy feeling comes. But it's true. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but there's just something where something is telling you, like, don't be out here right now.
So somewhat ominous, maybe.
A little bit. Call it, you know, dark or evil or, you know, anything like that. But it's just a feeling that this isn't like your realm right now. Something like that. Like, this is something else going on. So
the sun is going down. It's time for the others to come out and play.
Exactly.
So to our listeners, you know, if you're from Oregon or you've moved to Oregon and you've noticed, you know, pretty much what the same as Jerry is talking about, get in contact. I'd like to hear that. And would you have said, you know, when you visited the county fair,
it
could have been, you know, if you are a sensitive, then it could be a feeling of danger that something could have happened, or, you know, you may have got ripped off and maybe some shenanigans on some of the rides and games, maybe. So maybe it was danger and it was, you know, get out of here.
Right. There, of course, are a lot of, you know, indigenous stories about the area, too. And I know there was a rather awful battle that happened between settlers and the indigenous people that happened not too far from here. So there's that. There's also, when I talk about the energy of the land, Crater Lake itself was a massive volcano at one time, and thousands of years ago, I think it was 6,000 or so years ago, it blew. And, you know, the peoples that were here at the time, you know, definitely made note of that. But when something very cataclysmic like that happens in an area, I think it can often hold an energy with it too. And this area, while we're like 70 miles west of Crater Lake proper, maybe 70, 80 miles, it's still like that blast when that thing went off went all the way to the coast. So this whole area is covered with, you know, volcanic remains from when that mountain blew.
Yeah, and these memories and these energies stay within the land, you know, and yeah. Interesting. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I actually drew a little picture of Cousin It here. I take little notes and stuff, and sometimes I do little drawings, and I've got little Cousin It. I imagine seeing...
That was an interesting one. I just like that it actually kind of, you know, you can talk to these things and say, you know, it would be really nice if you wouldn't, the cats are kind of a little afraid of you. It would be nice if you don't come up here on the porch, and it, you know, obeyed that. So can't be all bad, right?
No, they can't be all bad if they're, you know, they're listening and doing as you're asking.
Yeah.
Earth spirits always interest me. Earth spirits is not something you hear, like elementals, you don't really hear of them too much. But they have been around for very long, and they're in ancient teachings and ancient stories. And it's their land, you know, they live in the trees, and many different cultures around the world have very similar stories of these spirits that live in trees.
Oh, sure.
So you should always be aware of earth spirits. I don't think they can always be good. I think sometimes they can be a bit mean sometimes if you're, you know, obviously if you're up to no good in their, on their land and their area. But yeah, earth spirits fascinate me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and that was something I did not a lot of in California. Could be just because there's just so much going on in Southern California, you know, with people and traffic and, you know, hustle and bustle and everything. And up here, there's a lot less of that. So you're just able to kind of focus in more on things that are going on in the natural world. So, you know, I'm sure they're everywhere, but just more noticeable in some areas.
Yeah, I think definitely if you go northern California up to the redwoods and the sequoias, yeah. I'm sure they'll be up there, not just little Ewoks. Sure.
The redwoods have a vibe, all of them, all to themselves, that it's, you feel like you've stepped back in time when you're in some of those ancient redwood groves. It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's a place I've always wanted to go there as a kid. Yeah, visit there since watching Star Wars. I think after that, that place is amazing.
Yep. Yeah, and that is the better redwoods to go to, too, in my opinion. It's the one where you know they filmed what was it, Empire Strikes Back or something? Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. Wonderful stuff. Fascinating, Sherry.
Yeah, no, thanks for doing this, Nick. I know you've got, you know, tons and tons of shows I haven't been through. Very interesting stuff. I love to listen to stories as well. Just hear other people's experiences. Anytime something matches up with your own experience too, you're like, oh, cool, you know.
Yeah, of course. It's if someone else has had the same as you, you're like, well, at least I'm not crazy, or at least there's at least two crazy people in the world just like me. And you know, it's forever growing. The more episodes I do, you know, the more similar stories I have coming out, like yourself, the guests that come on the show haven't told their stories anywhere else. You know, they may have told family members or the occasional colleague, but they've basically kept it to themselves. So it's nice that there is a place where people can come and share these. You know, I think of it not so much entertainment, more as like a campfire. More as like a campfire, people telling stories.
Right. No, it's like a digital campfire.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one. Digital campfire. Write that one down. You're wonderful. Yeah. Sherry, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
No problem. Keep in contact, all right? And I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks for that.
Bye.
That's all for this week, I'm afraid. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to John and Sherry for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.